It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen, older than what?
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Get jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it.
Ah, it's time to get a little jiggy here at Parkview Field. It is the home opener of the 2024 season. We are ready for it. Broadcasting live right here at the main gates as you walk in behind home plate next to the Orchard Gift Shop. Come on by and see us. Gates will be opening up at about 5:35. Our first pitch tonight at 6:35. And the pregame show right here on the radio with Mike Maz and Jack Gordon starting at 6 o'clock. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy. Baylen Brake is getting jiggy back in the 1380, the Fan Studios. And, yep, the folks are starting to line up ready for their 2024 season of Tidcast Baseball. We're fortunate that this is back-to-back years now. I'm not going to say back-to-back years. UConn has won a national championship. It's actually back-to-back years that we've had 70 degrees on the home opener day.
Yeah.
And that is a rarity. I mean, we've had home openers that have been in the 40s. Mm-hmm. We've experienced it all, Adam.
Because
since this show started, I think we've been coming out and broadcasting for home openers. And the last 2 years have been the best we've experienced.
I have to agree. And, I mean, I was talking to Mike Nutter just before he came on the Sports Rush here, and I said, today's going to give last year's home opener a run for its money just with how nice it is.
Well, there is a breeze, so if you're preparing to come out to the ballpark tonight, here would be my recommendations. Dress as if it's 10 degrees cooler.
Yeah.
So it says 70. Prepare like it's going to feel around 60.
Yep.
And expect it to be feeling more like 50 by the end of the game. And so that's just, you know, light jacket weather. That's not bad.
No. And if you're too warm in the meantime, put the jacket off, tie it around your waist, and then if you need it, put it back on.
No. We don't tie it around our waist.
You can do a waist jacket.
That is not a fat. No, that fashion statement is out, Adam. I don't think.
46862. Do you still tie your jacket around your waist?
No. No, my wife might. I'm not.
The fanny pack too.
I don't know if the arms are long enough to get around my waist. That might be my biggest problem. And of course, I say things like those. That is a joke. But that's why when we go to places and broadcast, we run into listeners. They say, "I thought you were a short, fat guy." Because I say things like that, right?
Right.
I don't know if the arms are going to be long enough to get around my waist. But no, actually, it's back-to-back years. Not only of great weather, but it is back-to-back years of UConn winning the national championship. Last night, they beat the Purdue Boilermakers, and pretty emphatic statement for UConn.
Absolutely.
And I guess the question is, at what point do we start to look at the possibility that this is a dynasty? How long do they have to have this kind of sustained success? I mean, I don't even know if they have to win a national championship last year, or next year. But at what point, I mean, they've won 6 national titles in, the last 25 years?
Yeah, I mean,
that's out of 4, basically.
If they're not a dynasty now already, then they're knocking right on the door of the Dynasty Cafe. You know what I mean? They're about to be let in, especially if they continue to look good next season under Dan Hurley.
We have plenty of hallway content as we pass cross paths with Derek Decker. He seems to just always be wandering down our hallways. And a couple of days ago, actually, I think it was yesterday, talking to Derek Decker about UConn and about the success of the UConn Huskies, and we got into the conversation of, do they now have a seat at the table of blue bloods in college basketball? What does it take to become a blue blood, and what does it take for you to lose that title? Like, for instance, UCLA, one of the most dominant basketball programs in all of college basketball, but that goes back like 4 or 5 decades.
Right.
And so right now, is UCLA a blue blood? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, they had that run with Mick Cronin, you know, getting to the that game against Gonzaga where they lost to that Jalen Suggs game winner.
Yeah.
But other than that, they haven't made a whole lot of noise in the postseason. So it does ask the question, has UCLA lost that status?
We throw around names like he's elite without a real definition of what elite is and how do you qualify to deserve that moniker. And I guess my question is, if you had to create the definition in Webster's of blue blood, what would that definition be?
That's tough.
It's the same thing with something where we say it's their rival or it's a rivalry game. What makes a rivalry game? Some people will say the definition has to include competitiveness, that the two teams have to be competitive with one another. It can't just be geographical. It can't just be conference. That, you know, rival has to be something where the two teams are competitive and they maybe share in wins and losses. But at this point, back-to-back national championships, and they've done it with three different coaches.
Right.
And, you know, you can't forget the tenure of Jim Calhoun, and then, you know, you follow it up with Kevin Ollie, and now you've got Dan Hurley.
Yeah.
I mean, at what point do you kind of concede that UConn is right there in the conversation with the North Carolinas, the Dukes, maybe the Kansas? I mean, Kansas, I think, would still be a blue blood.
Right.
And Kentucky. And does the coach have to stay? Obviously, Kentucky's going to be considered a blue blood because you go all the way back to Adolph Rupp if you want to talk about the history of Kentucky.
Yeah.
But, you know, I joked last night after the national championship game, as soon as it was over, I said, Coach Hurley, Kentucky on line one. I mean, I'm thinking if you're Kentucky, you've got to make that call.
Sure.
Now, he's been pretty adamant that he has no interest in the Kentucky job. Nate Oates has already said no.
Yeah.
I guess, is Kentucky going to have a tough time? Because remember, this is late in the cycle.
It is.
You know, some of the best names have already been passed on for other jobs.
Yes.
And would a guy who you might consider a candidate for this position, who may have already taken another job elsewhere, would they leave where they're at if they get the opportunity? In other words, not even start their first season.
Right, right. It's late in the cycle. Kentucky's already losing players to the transfer portal. And it's just, and I, you know, you can talk about how attractive of a job offer this is, but there's also the question you have to ask, is there a level of pressure that is also keeping some of these top-of-the-line coaches away? I know there's money, I know it's a quality program, but deep in the mind of some of these coaches, I know in the back of their mind, they say, that's a lot of pressure, that's a very volatile fan base, I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you have to consider the situation that you're in and what type of job security you're looking for. But, of course, in the coaching profession, I don't know if any place offers you infinite job security.
True.
But especially if you're a guy that would be qualified to be considered by Kentucky, you're probably at a high-profile enough job right now where you still have some pressure to perform.
Right.
But, you know, now the problem is comparing these jobs. It's not just about the history and the fan base expectations. It also then becomes the NIL funding.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're hearing things that one of the things Coach Cal wanted out of Arkansas was a guarantee on the amount of funding available through NIL.
Yeah.
And, you know, now all of a sudden coaches have to negotiate NIL funds for their players so that they can have better leverage to go out and do their job in recruiting top players to their program. And, you know, assistant coaches pool. How many assistants and how many staff do they get?
A lot of factors.
Yeah, there's so many factors other than, so like we talk about Coach Calipari and the fact that he might be making slightly less than what he made. But let's look at the overall program. And, you know, if you're able to take a program and add money into the NIL funding and add money for your assistant coaching pool, you know, you may have to take slightly less and earn it back with success and bonus incentives and stuff. But it certainly, you can't just say, you make $8 million.
X on the line. You can't say that. Just checking the text line here at 46862. If you have anything you want to weigh on, just text in. Somebody said, Brett's fastball on a windy day probably looked like a knuckleball. Somebody else texted in that they're a waist jacket guy here. Sorry.
Oh, man.
We got a fellow waist jacketer.
I'm going to look around. Is there a guy in the ballpark that has a waist jacket tonight?
We'll keep an eye out.
Because this would be the time where if they're wanting to bring a jacket into the ballpark, they would have it on their waist and not...
I see a shoulder drape in the line. I don't see a waist tie.
The shoulder drape? I don't know. I carry my jacket. Okay, I'll be honest. I carry my jacket.
Yeah, you don't do a shoulder drape. You don't do the tie.
The problem is, you know, fashion is very cyclical.
Yeah.
Where, like, it depends what part of the circle of that cyclical you're on. What would happen to me, Adam, is I would always catch on to something.
You're at the wrong part.
I'm on the opposite side of the circle. So I'm the guy that's doing something that I think, hey, you know what? I've noticed some people doing this. And so I get in on it when it's already a fad that's past its time. Maybe the waist jacket is back.
We'll have to ask Mike Maz what he does with his jacket.
Well, we know Maz is right on the top of the circle when it comes to the fashion trends.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll talk to Maz about that. We'll talk to him about coming back for yet another season. He knows the count. We'll find out what it is. How many years have we been listening to Mike Maz call Tin Caps Baseball and his thoughts about this team that's been put together that we're going to see here at Parkview Field for the 2024 season? We'll take a timeout. We're going to come back. We're just minutes away from getting the gates opened up and the ballpark officially open for the 2024 season here at Parkview Field. We are broadcasting live until 6. It is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Kind of amazing that the Wizards started in 1993 and Mike Maz actually started broadcasting games in 1968. We don't know how the math came out that way. But Mike Maz is now joining us, of course. He's the home radio voice of the Tin Caps. You've heard him for how many years, Mike?
Well, tonight will be the 22nd home opener.
Counting down toward your silver anniversary. And, of course, that takes the team back into the Wizards days.
Correct.
And you are kind of known as the human encyclopedia of Wizards/Tin Caps baseball. It's amazing how you've been able to remember and recall so many different unique plays and situations.
Good Lord gave me a halfway decent memory, but it is surprising that I can do it. But, you know, here we are, opening night 2024. I was working at a different radio station back opening night 1993, but yet I have a very fond memory of watching the late Bob Chase going through the crowd at Memorial Stadium with a recorder wanting to get comments from fans because professional baseball was returning to Fort Wayne. That sight in my mind has been etched ever since, and we both know what a great guy Bob was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think back of that night. I think back, well, opening night of 1994 was the first time that a Fort Wayne team in the Midwest League played an 18-inning game against the Michigan Battlecats at the time, which they won 5-4 in 18 innings. I remember opening night in this ballpark in 2009. Yeah. Tin Caps had started the year off winning 3 games at Lansing, then 3 games at Wisconsin. They come home, had this great crowd, over 8,000 fans. James Darnell hits a home run in the bottom of the second inning, first any player to hit a home run here at Parkview Field. We win the game 7-0, went on to sweep the Dragons to get off to a 10-0 start in that magical year. And there is something about a home opener that brings out the best in everybody, players, coaches, fans alike. There's just such an atmosphere. Hey, here we go. And in times like this, it's sunny today, relatively warm. There's no snow on the ground, as I always like to say. And everyone is coming out. I don't want to say coming out of the woodwork, but they're coming out. And we're looking for a nice crowd here tonight. And baseball is America's national pastime. NFL, Well, we'll put them aside for a moment.
You know, Mike, I think one of the things that kind of brings the joy into the ballpark is that, to me, the home opener of the baseball season is almost a more tangible sign that spring has sprung than seeing the first robin in your yard. You know, it's like, you know that the better, warmer days are ahead. Spring is truly here. Winter is over. It's transitional. But to me, it's that that makes the home opener so special.
It really is. And it also, what I really enjoy about the home opener, it's the start of the season. It's the start of a spring. It's bringing the people together in all walks of life. That's what I really like. We're going to see a lot of youngsters here tonight. We're going to see a lot of not-so-youngsters here tonight that may be close to our age. And
wait a minute, that implies I'm one of those not-so-young guys.
Hey, I'm still 11 years older than you.
I know you are. I know you are, and I'll remind you of it if you get out of line. But, no, seriously, I mean, it is such a community aspect, and I can't imagine. And I was going to ask Mike Nutter this, because the opening nights or home openers in history, that one had to be a totally different feel going into it, because you did have a controversial ballpark, but it was finally getting open. You were going to be able to showcase it to the city. And you mentioned a couple of the things that happened in the game, which I think the team got. Did they get a shutout that night?
7-0.
Okay, because I was here. In fact, I sat. I still know exactly where I sat in the picnic area down right field line. I was at a table right on the rail. And I believe it was the top of the second inning. Got a pop-up headed my way. And the ball was actually going to be on the field. I leaned over the rail. I had it lined up, Mike, I'm telling you. I was ready to make the because they were also offering a prize to the first fan that actually caught a foul ball. I thought, the prize is mine. This is game over. Put my hands out, ball comes down, and a little bit of an overzealous fan decides to make a last-ditch effort for the ball, bumps into me just as the ball's arriving, and it clanks off my forearm and drops. And then not only did I miss it, fortunately, I don't think I had too many boos in the crowd, but I might have had a couple. But I ended up with a big old bruise and welt on my arm from where the ball struck me. But that's my memory of that night. But you look back on that and think about where this ballpark has taken us, what it's done for the community. It's unbelievable.
That's the one I was going to come to, is the fact that the dream that was had by Jason Fryer and Hardball Capital to bring this ballpark and build this ballpark downtown. I've always, since day one, have called this the Taj Mahal of minor league baseball, and I sincerely believe that. The backdrop beyond the walls in center, left center and right field is second to none, and it shows a city, when you see the new buildings and the new hotels and so forth, it's a growing city. And I think back real quickly, I think back former Mayor Graham Richard. He was the spearhead from the political side. And I think back also to the late Tom Henry. And mm-hmm. I'm really happy to hear what's going to happen tonight. And a lot of people miss him. I was fortunate to have him with me in the booth on two different occasions. And what I remember most about Mayor Henry was his laugh. He wanted to make people, he's like me, if I can get a laugh out of somebody, I've done my job, because for at least a few brief moments, there's clarity in the world. And they don't have to worry about this or that. They can have fun. And we have had from day one at this ballpark the theme family, fun, entertainment. And I think what Mike and his staff have done here, and with help with the city getting this facility built, and then seeing the outspringing after that, of all these other businesses and hotels and restaurants and so forth, and it shows that Fort Wayne can and is a vibrant community.
Yeah, I think the only thing missing, in my opinion, but I know there's plenty of people that debate the other side, is we're missing the downtown arena across the street, but that's
another story for
That's for another day. Real quick, we got just a couple of minutes left, Mike, but I do want to hit on this roster. 23 players return. We've just not seen that kind of familiarity with a roster before.
I don't think we've ever had that many, 23 out of 30. And, boy, that's got to make the job, well, for the staff here and all the things that they do, because remember, these players and coaches, they give of their time throughout the community in ways that the community, the huge majority of the community, doesn't know or realize. And so to have that familiarity with each other, that's a big help. And I'll tell you who I'm actually looking forward to see come up for the first time tonight for the home opener. My nickname for him is Paul Bunyan. And that's first baseman Griffin Dorsey.
Yep.
And, yeah, you know, you want to, he's so nice and big and huge. And, if he can get a hold of a baseball with the bat and send it the country mile, this place will go nuts.
And it's amazing. We saw some of it last year. Now, I also want to bring up, though, real quick, and I know we've got Brian Jacko who's going to be joining us in just a minute, but also want to mention, for fans, don't expect you see a mid-season offense. It is not unusual. We've seen it year after year, Mike, where sometimes some of the guys, they struggle a little bit adjusting to the weather conditions, new ballpark, new backdrops, whatever it might be, the pressure of now the regular season. But a lot of these guys seem to turn it on once you get into May and the weather gets warmer.
I think an advantage for the Tin Caps is what you did mention earlier. 23 guys on the roster who have been here before for any amount of time. So they're already familiar with the facility, and they know what to expect, and they know that the season is now for real.
Yeah.
Now they can just go out and hopefully have fun, do their thing, and if they do their thing well, more and more fans are going to come out to watch them in person.
Mike, I got to let you save something. You got an extra long pregame coming up. You got to head up to the booth, but
yes.
Appreciate the time.
Thank you very much. I always appreciate getting a chance to chat.
Yep, have a great season. That is Mike Maz, home radio broadcaster for the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. We're going to take a timeout. Brian Jacko is going to tell us a little behind the scenes when it comes to the cash. That's what we've got to talk, finances, and what exactly that job entails, what it means. It's Brian Jacko who's going to join us for the first time, I believe, next, right here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back. We are live at Parkview Field. The gates are now open, so I guess the season has officially gotten underway as fans enter the ballpark, head to the concession stands to check out all of the great treats. And joining us here on the program is Vice President of Finance for the Tin Caps, Brian Jacko. I believe this might be your first time on the program. We'll have to get your mic on. I don't think your mic is on. See, this is the way we do it. First time guest. We wait until we're confident, and then we turn your mic up.
I got you.
But we believe now, after hearing a few words, you're worthy of the open mic.
I appreciate it very much. Great to be with you guys.
And let's talk a little bit about your role with the Tin Caps. It's primarily behind the scenes, but exactly what are you responsible for?
So I think you probably know, we own two other teams as part of our ownership group in Chattanooga, Lookouts, AA for the Reds, and the Columbia Fireflies over in South Carolina. Which is low A for the Royals. So I help oversee the finances for those two teams as well as the Tin Caps. I think my title might be CFO Hardball Capital, but I never really use that. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I'm the guy behind the scenes that writes the checks, counts the money, makes sure it gets into the bank, all that fun stuff. So I don't get to dance. They very rarely let me out of the office. So this is a treat for me to be out here getting to chat with you.
Well, and one of the things I think is the way the Tin Caps have been able to keep ticket prices so affordable. And I'm sure that's your responsibility, right? Make sure those dollars cover the expenses.
I have to make sure the math works. I have to make sure the math works for sure. So, yeah, but that's something we take great pride in. And, I mean, certainly something now when you when you go to a major league game, that difference in price and difference for a family really smacks you right in the face when you go to these other big ballparks.
Yeah, you can almost buy season tickets to Tin Caps baseball for what it costs to go to one concert these days.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think that'd get you into Taylor Swift, but you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely would get you to Taylor Swift. You can go through the whole Eras Tour in a summer here of Tin Caps baseball. By the way, you just had a chance to head out to the spring training.
I did,
yes. What was that experience like?
Awesome. I mean, the Padres are just a great group of people to work with. And, you know, one of the things I always tell people is when the major league team is good, the minor league team is usually inversely bad because you've traded your prospects. The guys you have made, you know, moved up the ladder. But the Padres are sort of in a unique situation where we've got some really good guys here and some really good prospects, and some of our guys are already up there. So,
yeah.
You know, it was great. I got a chance to catch up with Ethan Salas for just a little bit, and then I got to talk to Jackson Merrill, make sure he had an outfield mitt after playing shortstop all year last year here. And then you get to see some guys like, you know, Fernando and some of those guys that have come through here. It's just an incredibly exciting major league team to be a part of. So it was a great experience. My kids are 17, 14, and 11. So my 14 and my 11-year-old thought it was the coolest thing ever, and I scored some major dad points. So that should hopefully coast me through the next couple months, but we'll see.
What is the job, or how does your job change now that the season's actually starting?
Well, so all of us, I think we've talked about this before too, is we all wear so many different hats here. So, you know, for me, I'm monitoring the weather quite a bit. I'm me and Mike Nutter and a couple others on staff, you know, are constantly keeping an eye on that and communicating with our manager and the grounds crew. So that's first and foremost, just from a, are we going to be able to play the game tonight? But then secondarily, what's safe, you know, if we got thunderstorms coming in, those kind of things. So that, my role sort of goes to that. And then operationally, we've got a new ticketing system. We've got a new POS system out in the parking lot. So those kinds of things are, after we wrap up this interview and I take the headset off, I'll start popping around and checking on those things.
And when you talk about those systems, the training that goes into that and trying to, you know, you have almost a whole new staff of people that operate those systems.
You're absolutely right.
It's
got
to be amazing to get the training done, and I know how much you pride yourself on the customer experience here.
You're absolutely right, and we're fortunate that we have a great backbone of seasonal staff that comes back that we can kind of rely on to help the training for the new people. But you're absolutely right, and unfortunately, as much training as we do, you really can't simulate 3,000 people walking through the gate and 15 people standing in your line, and the register won't work or ring in the hot dog. You just can't simulate some of those things. So, you know, this first, you know, week, 2 weeks, we kind of work the kinks out before we get the big summer crowds and fireworks and things like that. So it's on the job training as well, because you can only do so much beforehand.
And I know one of the behind the scenes jobs that we've seen you do is you're also the roof ball retriever.
Yeah, I am.
I don't know how you know, I would have thought maybe a rookie job or something, but
well,
can't you pass that on to someone else?
I don't want to. There's too much. So the way that works is those used to just go up there and just sit. And no one would go get him. And I'm like, well, they can't use them to put him back in play because they have scuff marks or they have, you know, imperfections
right
on him now. We don't need him for batting practice. So I just started putting him in a box. So I put him in the first aid room. So if a kid gets hurt or something, we'll try and give him a ball. And then I've just been giving out buckets of balls to everybody I know at Wallen Little League, at Huntertown. I've given them to St. Francis. So everybody benefits. But, yeah, I don't trust anybody else to get up there yet.
And then, of course, we go back. How long have you been with the organization?
Well, I started fall of 2003, so I did 4 years over at the Castle before we came down here, so it's been a while. 25th opening day for me.
How does this compare? I mean, I talked to Mike Maz about this, that opening day back in 2009 had to be just an unbelievable experience. Anxiety, nerves, excitement. What was it like? Do you remember that night? I would imagine that's something that's going to stick in your memory forever.
Vividly. I think you just explained it really well. I would tell you it is a career highlight, and I still wake up with cold sweats as a nightmare. Wayne TV sent out a little clip from 2009. And I had two thoughts when I saw it of the ballpark on opening night. Number one, I think the ballpark looks better today than it did 15 years ago with the amount of work.
Scenery around the ballpark,
too. Very much so. Very much so. And then I joke that I think there are people still waiting in line for chicken tenders from that night. Because operationally, again, back to what I just said a minute ago, you just can't simulate 8,500 people walking through the door. And then nobody had any idea how to run anything. So it was a... extremely fulfilling night. It was a wonderful night. I mean, it definitely is going to be a career highlight for as long as I live, but, man, I don't want to do it again.
I do want to get this into our show at some point. I think you're one of the guys we can do it with since you've been around since 2003. The loss of Mayor Tom Henry, and obviously going to be laid to rest this week. He meant a lot to the Tin Caps. Very supportive of the organization.
We've had the great fortune to come across a lot of political leaders in Fort Wayne. We've had a lot of really inspirational people, people with a lot of foresight, and none greater than him. I mean, he is at the top of the list for us. I don't think I could think higher of a person, let alone a political person or a public office type person. He was just a great person, was always willing to come over and share time. Over the years, we've had, I think now, up to 80, 90 different communities and other ballparks who have come in and done tours here. I bet you he came over for half of them. He was happy to meet with mayors. Just last August, we had the mayor from Waco, Texas in with some of their council members, and they're hoping to do something similar. Met with them and gave them an hour of his time just explaining those kinds of things, and we will certainly miss them. It was a real gut punch for all of us here in the organization.
Brian, enjoy the 2024 season, and we appreciate you coming on the show and taking a quick break. Now it's time to go troubleshoot.
Well, we appreciate you guys and everything you do for Fort Wayne sports and the community, so appreciate you guys too.
Thanks so much. That's Brian Shacko joining us, the CFO Hardball Capital, if I got it right. I think I was selling him short when I just made him the VP of Finance here at the Tin Caps. He wears bigger hats than that. So it's a pleasure to have him join us. We will take a timeout. We're going to come back, wrap it up here. And then don't forget, we've got at 6 o'clock, we're going to turn it over to Mike Maz and Jack Gordon, because they've got a special extended edition of the pregame show for Tin Caps Baseball tonight. That'll be at the top of the hour, taking us up to first pitch at 6:35. It's the home opener at Parkview Field with a Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
This is Purdue Fort Wayne men's basketball coach John Coffin, and you're listening to the Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Go Dons!
The countdown to first pitch has begun. Fans have entered the ballpark. We've gotten a chance to give away some of our koozies here as fans have come by. And, it's like a giveaway night. That's Tin Caps just getting bonus because we're passing out all these koozies to people. But
yeah,
it's exciting in the ballpark because it's nice weather. Most fans, actually, a lot of short sleeves.
I've been seeing some waist jackets, Brett.
no waist jackets. You have not seen a waist. You point out to
There's one right there.
Wait a minute. Oh, no.
Gotcha.
Oh, there is a waist jacket. Okay. So maybe.
Throwing you off here.
Maybe. But news from the Padres that former Tin Cap Graham Pauly.
Yeah, he's been optioned to AAA El Paso.
So Pauly now playing for AAA, but I imagine he is. He's just going to get some at-bats.
Yep, get some reps.
Sometimes the problem is you make that quick jump up to the major league level, and then they realize you're not getting any reps.
Right.
You can't just keep your timing
in
batting practice.
No, you can't sit on the bench. Yeah, no.
So probably going to get some reps and get a chance to get some at-bats, and then that way he's ready to go if the Padres should need him. How about last night? If you're a Cubs fan, that's a heartbreaker. The only fortunate thing, it might have been late enough at night that you didn't have to sit through it.
Man, Tatis.
If you gave up because the Cubs had an 8-0 lead on the road at San Diego last night, and you decided, it's 8-0, it's in the bag, I'm going to go to bed. You missed the comeback. It was a Fernando Tatis two-run homer in the eighth, and the Padres beat the Cubs after falling behind 8-0. 9-8 was the final. Padres beat the Cubs last night. Hey, this was a lot of fun, huh?
A lot of fun.
Always
being
fun.
Here.
Always fun getting out of the studio and coming out here and hanging out with the fans at Parkview Field, getting all set for the Tin Caps home opener. Big thanks to our lineup of guests. Of course, we had John Nolan, Jack Gordon, Tin Caps president Mike Nutter,
and Shacko,
home radio voice of the Tin Caps, Mike Maz and Brian Shacko, also joining us. Coming up next, we've got the Tin Caps extended pregame show starting at 6 o'clock. Mike Maz, Jack Gordon, ready to take you up to opening home opener first pitch at 6:35. For Adam Lundy, I'm Brett Rump. Adam, or Baylon Break, back in the studio. This has been a special on-the-road edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.